One of the NFL's best rivalries. The Chiefs on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Get Kansas City's most exclusive coverage. The best pregame show in town. Sunday at 5.
Only on 41 Action News.
Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time jerks.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And pardon this terrible impression, but you got to be pumped, Nick, right? Because it's Raiders week.
I am more excited than normal this week. more excited than the last Raiders game. I didn't expect that to be the case, but, you know, after a loss and a victory lap, you know, things change. Life comes at you real quick.
Look, the victory lap has been the talk of this week leading up to it. Like, I've seen it on ESPN. I've seen it on NFL Network. I've seen it everywhere. Like, David Carr, Patrick Mahomes, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, John Gruden, Andy Reid. Everybody's been asked about it this week. So every time you hear it talked about, do you swell with pride a little bit since you're the one who broke that story on Twitter?
No, I've moved on.
Did you take some pride in hearing how salty John Gruden was about it? And in case you missed it, let's play the clip real quick, because John Gruden was asked about it, I think on Monday, maybe Tuesday. But he was not too happy to be asked about the victory lap they took at Arrowhead Stadium after the Week 5 win in October.
Not really. I mean, you could find a smart aleck bus driver in Kansas City who made some snide comments when we got on the bus. Maybe that's why we drove around the stadiums, to tick him off. You know, this is ridiculous. Next question.
So that was John Gruden. Nick, I'm not sure that he was happy that you leaked it out there that he ordered the buses to take a victory lap around Arrowhead. What say you?
Yeah, no, I could tell he wasn't happy that was out there. That was pretty clear in his body language. If you do enough press conferences over the years, you notice people's body language and little ticks that they give away over time. So that was, he was not happy about that being out there about him. But no, that's hey, I mean you were involved in the process of. Making sure that you got a real nice bus tour of Arrowhead Stadium and the Truman Sports Complex. So, I mean, that's there are consequences to your actions, and we'll see what those consequences are Sunday night if the Chiefs are able to take him to church or not. The bigger thing that I think in this whole thing is that the angle, everybody's like, who cares? They took a victory lap. Who cares? You know, that they won the game. They can do this and that. They're not wrong on any of it. But the bigger thing is here, when I'm looking at this, is Gruden doing that to his friend Andy Reid. That's the bigger thing that people aren't actually talking about. Because those guys grew up together. Those guys came up in the ranks together through Green Bay. They probably spent time together. They spent a lot of hours together, planning, becoming friends over time, all that type of stuff. And if there's somebody that I'm really good friends with and I care about, I am not rubbing it in their face that I beat them. I'm especially not doing something like that to where I do a victory lap around the stadium. Now, I understand Gruden doesn't like the Chiefs. I understand that he's got that Raider mentality, and that helps the rivalry, and it's going to make it for an intriguing game. It's going to give people a lot of interest, and it gives people a lot of distraction in a very bleak time, with depending on the news you consume. It's a nice distraction for a lot of us, but the issue I would always have with it and will always have with it is that's just not something that I personally wouldn't want to disrespect a friend like Andy Reid if I'm in his shoes to that level. So I think he's irritated that got out because he disrespected his friend
right
by doing that action when he let his Raider mentality get the best of him over his friendship with Andy Reid. I think that's the bigger thing that's not being talked about. So what I'm selfishly hoping for is that I'm hoping Andy Reid takes him to church and reminds him that you better put respect on Andy Reid's name with your actions, because Andy Reid's going to put respect. Like, Andy Reid wouldn't have taken a victory lap around there.
No,
he wouldn't have done that. That's not Andy Reid's style. That's not who that guy is.
Well, and look, I mean, I think John Gruden's got an NFL champion, you know, a Super Bowl title on his resume. I think these are two Hall of Fame coaches.
And he beat Andy in the NFC Championship game to go to that Super Bowl.
Right, and I don't you know, I agree. I don't think that it showed much class on Gruden's part. But if you look, I also understand heat of the moment. But the other issues I have with it are, one, like, John, like, if a smart aleck bus driver can get under your skin that much, like, maybe seek some counseling, you know, to work on some personal issues you have in your life. But also, week five won you nothing, right? Like, I mean, that spoke to me about where the Raiders are in this process. You know, they still look at the Chiefs as the measuring stick. I don't think that the Raiders believe that they are a legitimate contender in the AFC. I think that after beating the Chiefs, they desperately wanted to believe that, which is why John Gruden ordered the victory lap. But if you're celebrating like that after a week five, after a win in October in the NFL, I don't think that you have the right culture and the right mentality to do what ultimately the Chiefs' goal is, and that is to win another championship.
Well, and like I told you in the podcast after it, whenever we talked about it a little bit, the bigger thing is, like, Gruden, that's his signature win in Oakland right now. Like, that's from his culture and what he's building. Like, that's the win that he gets people to buy in. It gets players to buy in on, because he's been trying to build this culture all offseason. Hey, man, we're going to take down the almighty Mahomes, man. We're going to take down the Super Bowl champs. Knock on wood if you're with me. Like, you know, he's going to do all that, and that's kind of – he needed that, because if he didn't get that – that I'm telling you right now, that season for that team was probably going to turn upside down, and they're going to be at least 500, if not less. He's at least got a chance to be 500, if not a playoff contender right now, because they believe, they have the confidence in themselves. So because of that, because of that game, they didn't get the reality check that they were expecting to know that they weren't there. And they've been able to build off that and play off that for a handful of weeks now. So this is going to be a time where, I mean, the way Gruden's facial expression was, it's like the tornado is coming, and he's batting down the hatches, and he's getting ready to brace for the storm that he knows is coming.
Well, and here's the thing, like, you go back and look at that game, their defense played pretty poorly in reality. I mean, the Chiefs were unfortunate on a couple calls went against them, a holding call and a simile that took away a touchdown, a non-call and a DPI that probably could have led to another touchdown for the Chiefs. There's a handful of plays in there where that game swings dramatically. The Chiefs still scored 32, probably should have scored more than 40. It's curious to me the way that Gruden handled the post game and look, I think that the Raiders are a playoff team this year. I mean, they're certainly in contention. I'm not sure that what Gruden did serves his team well in the long term. I think it was a knee-jerk reaction, and I think there's a bill that's coming due. Whether the landlord's going to make him pay it, or whether Andy Reid, spent the bye week really coming up with got the creative juices going in between Honeydew projects to really stick it to Gruden. I think the Chiefs are going to come out and try to send a message on Sunday.
Oh, they're going to take him to church. They're not playing around this week. This is like Baltimore Ravens week, where this football team, you insulted our head coach like that. You know, they're going to take you to church now. That's the consequence. That's the facial expression that John Gruden was giving off in his pressure when asked that question. So he can say whatever he wants to, and he can make the sarcastic bus driver comment. Oh, and here's the bigger thing I want to talk about with the bus driver. If the bus driver didn't actually make that comment, and here's the first thing I want to say. I'm proud of Gruden and respect him for at least not denying the report.
Owning it, right?
I will give him respect on that. Now, if he hadn't done that, whenever Crosby went out on Colin Cowherd's show and admitted that they took it, that would have been an awful look for Gruden if that had been the case. Luckily, he didn't, and Crosby ended up laughing about it and talking about the victory lap. So you have a player on record admitting that it happened.
Yeah, Carr talked about it too, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, you have the whole circumstance situation in that regard. Now, the other thing that I'm going to say is that if that bus driver didn't say anything, here's the thing I want people to know. Whenever every team comes to town, they have a police escort that gets them to and from safely. It's right. Not because of anything of the times. It's been done for 30-plus years that I'm aware of, that I can, since I was a little kid and can remember. And they take them from the airport to the hotel. They take them from the team hotel to the stadium, and from the stadium to the airport. That's part of the process. That's just done every week. And So they consider the police escort essentially employees whenever they get paid for that. And then they consider the bus companies employees as well. They give it, they offer them all team hats. So the escorts occasionally get hats if they want it, and the bus drivers get hats. And so the biggest thing is, from a company perspective, is the company that gets those rights to have that bus, the bus tour, you know, to have the busing back and forth to provide the transportation, they don't want to say anything because they don't want to jeopardize that money that they're making. They don't want to jeopardize that contract. So bus drivers, for the most part, really don't actually talk. They wear the hat, they smile, and they drive them to and from so their check can clear. I mean, that's the reality of it, because that's a very valuable commodity, driving NFL teams 10 to 14 times a year, depending on playoffs and all things of that nature. So that's a good contract to have, as it is with, you know, MLB in town and things of that nature. So my bigger point I'm trying to make here is, I don't think they want to mess. I don't think the bus drivers want to mess with their money during a pandemic.
Probably not.
So, I mean, that's fine that that story's out there and that that's been stated and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I was like, oh, come on, dude. Like, trying to take money out of a company and a bus driver's like hands. Come on, dude. Like that's where I have the issue with that whole little thing.
Well, not sure John Gruden's done much winning this week. Not sure he's going to do much winning on Sunday either. Hey, let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll actually break down what we expect on the field. How about that? Here on 4th and 1.
One of the NFL's best rivalries. The Chiefs on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Get Kansas City's most exclusive coverage. The best pregame show in town. Sunday at 5.
Only on 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. Nick, just so you're aware, I did a victory lap during that break around my neighborhood to celebrate my victory over the Leaves this fall.
How are you not winded right now? You've been cardio pretty good.
I've been doing a lot of cardio the last 3 months. So,
if you're not winded right now,
I feel good. In my neighborhood, it's fairly flat. Depending on what part of the neighborhood you're on through, so it's good. It's good. But hey, I wanted to talk about the Chiefs defense, because when you go back and look at that game, I mean, first viewing, they gave up 40 points. I mean, that's always a slight red flag.
Concerning. Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about, first of all, obviously the Raiders are a good power running team. And I think they really took advantage of Tano Passanio and Alex Okafor, who we know struggle against the run at times. I think they were smart in taking advantage when Ben Neiman was in the middle. They were very strategic, knowing the guys that are weak, you know, against the run at times, and going after them. They did a lot more running to Charvarius Ward's side as opposed to Bashaud Breeland's side. I mean, so I think they had a good game plan as far as their run game goes. But it was the big plays, I think, that ultimately hurt them. If you're the Chiefs and you look back at that film, are you more worried about shoring up the run and stopping Josh Jacobs, or are you more concerned about cleaning up the back end in terms of correcting some things and flipping the script this week?
My biggest thing is that you want to make sure the explosive plays don't happen at the same level and the same click that they did in that game, because you can adjust some things in the run. And I mean, Ward had just come back from his hand injury. So, I mean, you could handle that one. Cause if you look at what the Raiders did, Ruggs had the 72 yard touchdown. Aguilar had the 59 yard touchdown. Ruggs had a 46 yard catch. Booker had a 43 yard run, you know, Carr to Renfro in that big post over the middle in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That one was 42 yards. Carr had another one to the fullback that Neiman was covering. That one was 23 yards. And then Darren Waller had a 23-yard pass with Sorensen in coverage. So, I mean, if you count that up, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. They had 7 explosive plays they gave up. That's what really gave them, and 2 of those were touchdowns. You take those away, the Chiefs win. So, I mean, you're going to deal with some issues in the run, but I don't think other than Booker's big run and a couple other maybe runs here and there, I know the stat sheet shows 144 overall and 35 attempts. I get that, but it just the longest run that Josh Jacobs had was 7 yards. And I know I know over 23 carries that can be concerning, but I'm just telling you, I'll take the little run paper cuts over the explosive plays, because that's where the problem comes.
Yeah, and I think though that the ability, like, there weren't many negative plays. Like Jacobs was pretty consistent, especially when they ran to pass on your side, at being able to get those plays that kept the offense on schedule and allowed them to get to the play action pass, you know, that made, especially some of their the route combos they ran against zone coverage and stuff like that, a little bit more effective. You know, I'm thinking about the tight end to Waller when you know, they ran the play fake, Ben Neiman sucks up, and Charvarius Ward's playing outside leverage, expecting that the linebacker's going to drop underneath. And effectively, they just, it might have as well been a walk-in touchdown to Waller. And that's where I thought that the intelligent way that they schemed up to attack certain guys who struggle against the run allowed them to have the big play. But I agree, Ruggs is the one that you know, I mean, everybody talks about the big touchdown, and understandably so. You know, he fire roasted Charvarius Ward on that one. But there was also a 3rd and 10 in the first quarter where the Chiefs were playing at the sticks. They were in his own coverage. I like the call, but they just sent Ruggs on a go, and he was able to again beat Ward or get behind Ward and was able to beat Fenton over the top. What do they need to do? Because Ruggs, I think, is the primary big play guy that you've got to be worried about. Kind of a baby Tyreek Hill in some respects with that world-class speed he's got. What adjustments do they make to make sure that Ruggs doesn't burn them in those long situations or for those long touchdowns?
With him, they're going to have to figure out ways to press him, disrupt him a little bit on his release. So they're going to have to get a little bit more physical with him at times, and they're going to keep somebody over top, just like a lot of teams do with Tyreek. And the biggest theme of this week is the Chiefs cannot let anybody get behind him. Just don't let anybody get behind you. Make sure you're in position. If you got to do two deep most of the day, then you do that. I mean, you do what you got to do in that regard. And if you're one of the safeties, don't bite up. Don't take the cheese. Don't bite up like Thompson did on one, Sorensen did on another, because those led to two of the explosive plays. Just do not bite up if you're too deep. Like, yeah. Don't do it. Don't even have that in your calls.
Well, and even I mean, if you go back and look at the Aguilar touchdown, you know, and we were just dissecting that play before, you know, they run some motion. And Ward still, he comes up on that side when he should have already been dropping back as soon as the guy motioned away. And that led to a wide open side of the field. It basically left Tyrann Mathieu to have to cover the entire back third of the,
It left him to cover. Yeah. It gave him two-thirds.
Yeah. I mean, he had to cover everything past 20 yards downfield, because Ward wasn't where he was supposed to be. That led to one of the other big plays. So I think that the problems that they had are fixable. Yep. I would be shocked if the Chiefs give up 40 points again this week. Absolutely stunned.
They shouldn't if they're able to correct everything and they stay a step ahead of the Raiders. Here's a bigger thing. Anytime Andy Reid plays an AFC West opponent the second time around, and I've been looking at that, and I'll have a number for you. I'm going to crunch them all down. You know,
whoa.
Numbers take me a while, so I've been working on it all week.
Yeah.
My brain shuts down after the third one, so, I mean, it's going to be a week-long project, you know. But the second time that Andy Reid plays an AFC West team, it's noticeably different in terms of yards, numbers, and stats of that nature, other than 2013 with Bob Sutton. So other than that, it's noticeably different. Even when Bob Sutton was a defensive coordinator a majority of the time, Andy always got the team's best shots, and then he always had answers for them. Peyton got the best of them a couple times in some of those, but for the most part, the Chiefs had answers. So the Chiefs got the Raiders' best shot. They got their very best shot. Now the Raiders are going to get the Chiefs' very best shot.
Yeah, well, and I think it'll be fun. And I feel like we're going to get in trouble because you can watch the game on 41 Action News, but we're also going to have a pregame show, and we've always got some pregame weekend content. So, Nick, I know you put a lot of time and effort into that. I know we've got a really awesome show lined up for this week. So let's make sure that you know, we let people know when and where they can find some of that on air this weekend.
That Sean Hirschberg's putting that one together, so tip of the cap to him.
Oh, my bad.
I'm doing a package for it. But yeah, no, I mean, you can check it out on 41 Action News at 5 o'clock if you're in the area. If you're out of the area, we have some streaming applications that are right up your alley. If you got a Roku, Amazon Fire, an Apple, I can't remember what else we got. It's on streaming, any of your streaming devices. Yeah, just search for the 41 Action News app. You can watch a local coverage of it. McShaffer will be live in Las Vegas. I suggested he do a live shot from the sports books. I don't think he's going to be able to, but that would be pretty neat if he could. Yeah. But he's got to be safe there while he's in Las Vegas, so I completely understand any of that the precautions him and Darius have to take. But like I said, and you find on KSHB.com, we have coverage galore on all that, and Todd has put some stuff together as well, if I remember correctly. Huh?
Huh? Yeah. No, we have our typical game day blog, and I'll be in charge of that again during the game on Sunday night. I drew the short straw this week, so I will be working through the game, but that's all right. You know, because as the home of the Chiefs, we want to bring you the best coverage we can. Don't have a lot of time left for a C block, but Nick, you want to stick around and do one anyway?
All right, I guess. I got a sandwich that's waiting for me.
All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on 4th and 1.
One of the NFL's best rivalries. The Chiefs on the road against the Las Vegas Raiders.
Get Kansas City's most exclusive coverage. The best pregame show in town. Sunday at 5.
Only on 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, I think it gets lost in the shuffle here. The Chiefs scored 32 points. They also had a touchdown taken off the board.
I was going to say, they actually scored 40, but one was taken away.
Right. But they had a touchdown taken off the board on the opening drive when there was a questionable holding call against Assembly. They had 4 more points taken off the board on Travis Kelce's offensive pass interference on what should have been a touchdown to Edwards-Helaire, that they ended up settling for a field goal. There was also a pretty clear defensive pass interference on another on a deep post
to
Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Abram just stood over him.
Right, the Chiefs easily could have had 50 points in this game if you add up all those different things. I'm not worried about the – I don't think the Raiders can contain Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. The solutions to stopping those guys, I just don't see them on this Raiders roster. And on top of that, the Raiders, who have been like aren't even trying to take precautions against COVID-19. I mean, they are the reason that the NFL keeps having to tighten down the protocols. Do we even know who they're going to have on defense for this game?
I don't know. I don't even think the Raiders know right now. I just know they aren't going to have Cleveland Farrell. So it's going to be up to Crosby to create a lot of their pass rush. So all you're going to need to do is chip the heck out of him and run right at him a handful of times, wear him down. And then you don't have to worry about it in the third and fourth quarter if you get physical with them.
I mean, look, the Chiefs still have – they've got their own concerns. I mean, you know, Mecole Hardman's status, I would say not promising at this point. You know, they've already ruled out – although that is softened by the fact that Sammy Watkins should be back. But Mitchell Schwartz is going to be out still. Mike Rimmer's listed as questionable. Got to think, you know, given the situation at tackle, he'll at least try to gut his way through. We'll see whether – you know, we probably won't know until closer to game time whether he's a full go. But any real concerns with the Chiefs and what you see on the injury report, you know, for this week?
No. Just go out there and hang 50. That's all you got to do. Go out there and hang 50. Just try to break the scoring record. If you can hit 71, do it. You want to do victory laps? We'll take a victory lap on national TV by dropping touchdown bombs on you.
Well, I will say this. I do think there's a decent chance. I believe now I got to be sure here. I believe that the scoring record for Allegiant Stadium is the 45 points the Buccaneers put up on the Raiders a few weeks ago. So at minimum, that should be the goal, right? Is to break the stadium scoring record in the Las Vegas Raiders swanking you to Las Vegas digs.
Yeah, the only thing I got to say, I just got one question for John Gruden right now.
What's that?
Hey, Chucky, want to play?
Hopefully we're not having the same conversation about all the mistakes and all the ways the Chiefs shot themselves in the foot and kind of found a way to...
Don't you bring me down today, okay? We're going to end this on a positive note. Plus, we're probably over time right now. I can already tell.
We're getting close. But, I mean, ultimately, I think the Chiefs beat themselves more than the Raiders handing it to them last week. I think they had some lapses on defense. They had some penalties and some bad times. And they didn't catch a couple breaks. And when you play poorly, those breaks then tend to make, you know, be the difference in the game. I think if the Chiefs clean some things up and put their best foot forward, I think they're the better team. I think they're going to show that on 41 Action News Sunday.
I have nothing else to add except watch 41 Action News at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
That's channel 41, right?
That's channel 41, and you should watch it. And watch it on your streaming apps, watch on your mobile phone, watch it everywhere, watch the game on our air, and you just hide your remote till midnight. We got a post-game show afterwards. We got all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
No, it'll be a podcast.
It'll be a good time, I promise. Even better, you won't have to actually see or hear from me. So congratulations, kids. And we'll talk to you again after the game. Take care.
Want to play?